Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time that we can be gathered together as your people to worship you. Thank you for reaching out to us in your love, in your grace. Thank you especially for what was accomplished at the cross. We thank you that together with the Lord Jesus, you have provided for all things that are good for us. Thank you for the scriptures. And thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth. We pray that you'll be pleased to be in our midst, that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak to us, renew our minds, grant us insight into the truth in the scriptures, and help us to know how to respond well to your high calling. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now considering God's revelation in the New Testament on the working of church life. The subtopic for today, the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes, the fifth message. The messages under this subheading help us understand the big picture and the core issues in relation to responding well to God's call. These messages are in point forms in the hope that you'll be easier to follow and to remember. But bear in mind the points are closely related, they overlap, and also they need to be borne in mind together as together they form a beautiful picture that can help us to view and to approach life in a manner that is consistent with biblical revelation and the will of God. So it's meant to help us not just to understand a specific point, but an approach to life, how we should view life, approach life. The first point introduces us to the rest of the points. Under this subheading, the main point I want to emphasize and highlight is that the mystery and how God's purposes are to be expressed and accomplished is in and through the church and the expression of church life, body life. That is the centrality of the role of the church. Of course, the church consists of individuals and God does care for every individual, and the individual responding well to God's call is vital. But God has shown clearly that He wants us to work out, to respond to Him, not just at a personal level, but together in expression of church life. And this leads us to the example of the Apostle Paul, the thrust of his life, which I consider with you in the second point. What Paul concentrated upon was the growth of the church and how church life ought to work out and accomplish what has been in the heart of God. That's how God wants His plans to be accomplished, through the proper expression of church life, and Paul concentrates his life, his ministry in that direction. And the life of and ministry of Paul is meant to be an example for us, including what he has written in his epistles. And in particular, I have been referring especially the messages under this subheading to the epistle to the Ephesians. Personally, I see this as the most important epistle on this subject of the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We'll cover up to point 13, and today I will continue with point number 14. Point 14, the role of the Holy Spirit. So we look at the book of Ephesians, we find that what Paul writes in this epistle, which I did mention just now, he concentrates on the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And in this epistle, Paul makes clear to us that if you want to work out well in practical outworking, then we must appreciate the role of the Holy Spirit. He didn't tell us in these words, but it is quite clear if we read through the scriptures, that is actually what Paul is trying to communicate. Not only appreciate the role of the Holy Spirit, but we must be filled with the Spirit. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit in practical outworking, and we must be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, and also to learn to pray at all times in the Spirit. All this Paul tells us in Ephesians, and if we ponder over it, we find that it actually comprehensively covers how to work out our lives in practical outworking in response to God's call, the vital role of the Holy Spirit. We've already seen that Paul began his exhortation to believers to respond well to God's call to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. And straight away he tells us to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. It's good to look at Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 to 3. Paul wrote, "Therefore I will not be reading every word. We are familiar with these verses by now, but I'll just read the key words relevant to what we are considering now. Ephesians 4 verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling." So I've mentioned before, the "therefore" refers to the first three chapters, where Paul already talked about God's call, revelation of the mystery, and now we are to walk worthy of the calling. And Paul mentions, to walk worthy of the calling, there needs to be humility, gentleness, patience, love. And all this, we know, are related to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul makes this clear by saying in verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Paul, when he begins this part of practical outworking, responding to God's call to walk worthy of the calling, the fruit of the Spirit in the lives of believers is critical, and this is very much related to the important issue of unity. And all this is in the context of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. We know if we want to respond well to God's call, then unity is very important. I've highlighted this point before, and this comes through clearly in these words of the Apostle Paul, when he began with the walking worthy of the calling, he straightly mentions preserving the unity. So there's unity in the Spirit, but we need to be diligent, careful, that this unity in the Spirit is maintained. So true unity comes about when we recognize and submit to the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is something that we need to be conscious of if we want to work out our lives well. That is the guidance and enabling of the Spirit. Because true Spirit is, or rather, true unity is in the Lord and in the truth. That is unity in the Holy Spirit, who is God and truth. And this is something very helpful and easy to remember when we remember this context, because Christians do recognize the importance of unity, but we need to be able to discern, to recognize true unity from false unity. And there can be all kinds of attempts to manifest unity, but is it true unity? True unity is in the Holy Spirit, who is God and truth. And true unity must be in the Lord and in the truth. Not only that, as Paul goes on with practical outworking, which is actually from Ephesians chapter 4 onwards to the end of the epistle, Paul tells us in practical outworking, we must exercise care not to grieve the Holy Spirit. This he tells us specifically in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But it's helpful to bear in mind the context when Paul wrote these words. Sometimes we may just read through the scriptures, and then certain words and phrases or verses may catch our attention, and we pay attention to them, rightly so. But it is very helpful to bear in mind the whole flow of thought before Paul comes to verse 30. I've mentioned just now from chapter 4 onwards, therefore walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Then he went on to talk about the expression of church life, and then from verse 17 onwards he goes on to talk about practical outworking. Are we mentioning this here and there? Because the next point I'll be covering practical outworking, which is related and does overlap. So this part, Paul, in verse 17 onwards, he mentions various aspects of practical working, and then the midst of it all, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit as you seek to work out. But it doesn't end there. It carries on up to the end of chapter 4 and from verse 5 onwards. So in all aspects of practical outworking, we must be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But what does it mean, not to grieve the Holy Spirit? You grieve the Holy Spirit means you sadden the heart of the Lord. You sadden the heart of the Holy Spirit. That means you are walking contrary to the Spirit. You are walking contrary to the guidance of the Spirit. And this is something very important for us to bear in mind. And it's meant to be ongoing all the time as we walk with the Lord, as we seek to respond well to His calling, to be conscious of the realities in the spiritual realm, the Spirit of God guiding us, and what is consistent with the Spirit of God, so that we do not do anything that grieves the Spirit. This is something very real that all of us need to learn, so that we will not be grieving the Spirit and yet not even be conscious of it. It requires a prayerful spirit as we live our lives before God. We are seeking to respond to the great Almighty God. Every moment we are living our lives in His presence. So if we learn to walk well with the Lord, when something is amiss in our lives, not just outward conduct, but in our hearts, in our spirit, it will be jarring. The Spirit of God will indicate to us it is contrary to the Spirit of God. So we must learn what it means to walk according to the guidance as well as the empowering of the Spirit. We are familiar with these terms, but it's something we need to learn more and more, what it means to walk according to the guidance and the empowering, the enabling of the Spirit. And that is how we fulfill the will of God, because the Spirit of God will guide us to fulfill the will of God, and not only that, by God's enabling. And that is essential. And this is relevant in our personal walk with God, as well as our working out together in church life. We need to look out together. Yes, we need to pray for the elders who have responsibilities in this area, but it's not just for the elders. Every member of the body is to fulfill his part. We have looked at this earlier, in the earlier message, Ephesians chapter 4. So every member of the body needs to look to the Spirit of God and all seek to fulfill the part that the Spirit of God desires of him or her. And when we do that, there will be true unity. And then we can trust God to manifest His power, His wisdom, and to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in the body and through the body. As you read on, chapter 4, chapter 5 of Ephesians, you see that Paul exhorts us in various ways how to live well for the Lord, to walk in love, to edify, to make the most of our time edifying one another and walking with God, serving God with true joy in the spirit of thanksgiving to God. And in the midst of all this, Paul makes it clear to us, if we want to live well in this way, it is imperative. Imperative meaning essential, not optional. You must be filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit. And that we find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. But, and this verse I've referred to over the years in various messages, but now I want you to look carefully at the context and to appreciate the context in which Paul instructs us to be filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit. First, we need to bear in mind the context. We are now living under the new covenant. Christ has come, the cross has taken place, exaltation of Christ, and the outpouring of the Spirit. Bear in mind, all this is new. I've mentioned in an earlier message, it goes together with the revelation of the mystery, with the coming of the Messiah. In the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit has not been poured forth. But now the Spirit of God has been poured forth, and it is God's will that all His children be filled with the Spirit, and all can be filled, although it's a sad thing, not all of God's children are filled. And this is an important subject. I've covered this in a number of messages in a mini-series on the Spirit-filled life, now already edited and available on the website. And the issues involved there are important for every child of God. To be clear, I covered this under the series Appearance and Reality. So, as I mentioned just now, in Ephesians chapter 5, let us now look at the immediate context. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says, "Be careful how you walk." Verse 16, "Making the most of your time." Many of us will likely have taken note of these exhortations, including verse 17, "Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." But we may be just looking at these words, so we take note, we must be careful how we walk, we must make the most of the time, not be foolish, understand what the will of the Lord is, but we may not be so conscious that this is very much related to verse 18. And for these to work out well, verse 18 must come in. Because Paul went on to say, "And do not get drunk with wine. If you are drunk with wine, you will not be able to make the most of the time, understand what the will of the Lord is, walk well with God, and so on. But instead, but be filled with the Spirit." And Paul went on. When you are filled with the Spirit, what happens? "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So this is an approach to life. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are exhorting, edifying one another. And also, you see, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it is something spiritually edifying. Something that comes forth from the ministry of the Spirit working in your life, it moves in these directions. And then it goes on to say, "Always giving thanks to all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So it's a life of thanksgiving. So Christians, we are conscious of this. Life of thanksgiving important. Make the most of our time. But how? This is essential. Be filled with the Spirit. And I've mentioned several times, the be filled there is not just once and that's it. Be filled and continue to be filled. The Spirit filled has to be maintained, and from time to time to be filled afresh with the Spirit. Then we can live in this way. And it's just making melody with your heart to the Lord. It's not just outward show. There's this reality that flows forth from our heart as a result of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As we look to the Spirit of God to guide us, to enable us, is alive in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And when Paul says these things, again and again, he's reminding us the core issues. So it doesn't just stop there. Just to get, oh, so Paul is just trying to tell us, speak to one another in Psalms, giving thanks, be subject to one another. When Paul expresses this, bear in mind, he is talking about our response to God's call, expression of body life, church life, and then the practical outworking. So in the midst of all this, from time to time, you will see various of these things. But these are meant to remind us of all the various facets and aspects of body life, church life, and the meaning of our walk with God in the Spirit-filled life. So the subject to one another in the fear of Christ is talking about the proper expression of body life. But body life doesn't just consist of this. Likewise, giving thanks to God in the name of our Lord Jesus. This sphere of thanksgiving is very important, but that is meant to tell us a heart of worship, thanksgiving, and a meaningful, appropriate response to God. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, edification of one another, spiritual edification. And edification can come in many different forms. And likewise, I've mentioned to you also in these messages, when Paul talks about be careful how you walk, making the most of your time, if we do not properly appreciate the context and what we've been considering in these current messages under this subheading, then, which often happens to Christians, we may just be thinking, oh, I need to exercise care, how to walk, I must make the most of my time, so then how to make the most of my time. So we may think that if we occupy our time properly, don't waste away all the time, don't do improper things, don't idle away time, and we may end up doing various things that are legitimate. You can also say Christian things, but we may still miss the thrust of what Paul is trying to communicate to us when he says, be careful how you walk, making the most of your time. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. They are all interrelated, and all this is in response, in the context, in the light of God's call. So if we do not spend time to understand what is God's call, what is in the heart of God, and identify with God's heart, then we may not know how to make the most of our time. Understand what the will of God is. Christians generally recognize understanding the will of God is very important. We all want to know the will of God. But do we realize, do we recognize that the most important aspects of the will of God has already been revealed? the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes. The centrality of the role of the church. There's so many major issues. They are all already revealed. When Paul says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He's not just merely talking about day by day, moment by moment, in decision making. I need to be wise to know what is the will of God for me now at this moment, what to do. Yes, it does include that. But that actually is secondary. The understanding of what the will of God is has to do with the primary first. What are the major things in God's heart? And when you know that, and that requires time to prayerfully consider. And if God has provided resources for you to be helped in that direction, do you rejoice, make the most of it, spend time to study, to consider what the will of the Lord is. All the major aspects. Are we clear? Do they grip our hearts? Are our hearts identified with God? And when that takes place, it will help us very significantly in the day by day knowing what the will of the Lord is. And also those of us who are praying, Lord, what is your will for my life? Whether we major decisions or specific choices we make day by day. Likewise, as I mentioned just now, making the most of your time. How do you evaluate whether we are making the most of our time? Are we satisfied? Yes, I've occupied my life, my time. I didn't idle away the time. And I'm doing legitimate Christian things. That is not without value, but that is not sufficient. The thrust here that Paul is trying to communicate, as I've also tried to indicate as we read epistles of Paul, try to identify what is in his heart. What gives rise to these words in his epistles? And in earlier messages I've mentioned, it is clear that Paul devoted his life to be a good steward of the mysteries of God. He devoted his life to the well-being of individual believers and the health and effective outworking of church life. And you can say all these epistles, why are they written? It's very helpful. Appreciate it from this angle. That is the burden in his heart. He says every day, he's carrying within him the burdens, the pressures of concern for all the churches. When he wrote his epistles, basically they are written to the churches. His burden for them. How they should respond to God's call. When he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he addresses many problems. Why? It's not just that they're problems, so he wanted them to know, okay, you have this problem, here's the answer. It has to do with in his heart, he knows that God wants to accomplish his purposes through the church. And when you respond to God, you want to work out church life, there are many problems that emerge. And so, yes, the problems need to be addressed. But the ultimate thing is not just a question of addressing problems. The addressing problems is to enable the believers to function well. Each one and together. And then you can fulfill God's call. So at the call center is still God's call. The mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes. Or the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. Appreciation of the revelation of mystery, the role of the church, and then how God's purposes are to be fulfilled. So when we begin to appreciate it in this way, which is actually understanding the heart of Paul and why he wrote the epistles, then you will help us to appreciate at a deeper level why Paul says these things, and also not just limiting ourselves to just a specific points he may be making in that verse. But the whole trust and the whole flow. But yes, it is true. To fulfill God's purposes well, there are many, many aspects that are helpful to know And that is why Paul wrote all his epistles. He addresses many different things. And he told the Ephesian elders, he did not shrink from declaring to them, proclaiming to them, teaching them all that was profitable, the whole counsel of God, the whole purpose of God. So yes, there are many things to look into, to study, to absorb, to live out. But what is the core center on the basis of which we appreciate all the other aspects? And beyond that, vital, not only come to recognize and agree and say, yes, yes, we need to recognize the core center from which all the rest flows, but our own lives, are our hearts gripped by the core center, on the basis of which we then approach and view all issues of life? Is that how we actually live our lives? Otherwise, we are not responding properly to the words of exhortation of the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore be careful how you walk. Verse 15, not as unwise men, but as wise. How? Making the most of your time. This flows forth. This is in Ephesians chapter 5. It's consistent with what he already told us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I implore you to walk worthy, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. It's all the same thrust and direction. Paul, again, in the same epistle in Ephesians, he helps us understand that if we want to live well in this way, then we must be prayerful. We all now recognize this. But helpful to bear in mind, prayerful prayer, the place of prayer, the importance of prayer, as part of this total picture, and Paul puts it this way in his epistle. Learn to pray at all times in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 8, not chapter 6, no chapter 8. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Very meaningful words. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Very important prayer. But not just now and then, we have to pray at all times, and pray at all times in the Spirit. Many of us are conscious of, and we want to be more conscious of God in our daily lives. We are all familiar with terms of dependence on God, fellowship with God, walk moment by moment with God. How do you do all this? How do you nurture, develop consciousness of God and God's presence? Well, if you learn what Paul tells you here, you accomplish all that I've mentioned just now. When we learn to pray at all times in the Spirit, know the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit in this area of prayer, and look to the Spirit of God to help us to pray. So not just pray, but pray at all times in the Spirit. It means all the time. A prayerful spirit. And in fellowship with the Spirit. Looking to the Spirit to guide us. And even to help us how to pray. And how to pray appropriately. And when you pray at all times in the Spirit, of course, there will be the God consciousness. Of course, there will be that sensitivity to God's guidance. God's enabling. And whether you be making the most of your time, whatever. Knowing the will of God. So praying at all times in the Spirit is a very important aspect of responding well to God's call and how we should live our lives. Each one of us at a personal level and together in church life. Later on, I'll go on. When I talk about spiritual warfare in Ephesians 6, you'll see that these words follow immediately after spiritual warfare, and there it's very clear. It's not talking about individuals. It's the army of God, together. So all of us, and together, we must look to the Spirit and learn to pray at all times in the Spirit, in our personal lives, and together in expression of body life and church life. subsequently we'll see prayer not so simple. There needs to be alertness with all perseverance. So if we are not careful, even though it's possible, and even if you have experienced the fullness of the Spirit, there needs to be the active looking to the Spirit to help us and to persevere in this way, to be steadfast in living life this way. It's not automatic. If we are careful, we can lapse into walking according to the flesh and lose our consciousness of God and dependence on God. I now want to go on to the next point, 15. So bear in mind, all these are overlapping points, but if you look at all the points together, if you have taken down notes, then you'll find that many of the emphasis on each point is not exactly the same, but together, but they are interrelated, and it's very helpful to remember all these points. The next point I want to emphasize is practical outworking. Of course, when we talked about earlier, there is practical outworking, but now I want to highlight this aspect of practical outworking from a certain angle. And here, when I talk about practical outworking, I'm talking about comprehensive. Practical outworking, whether it be marriage, family relationships, how we conduct ourselves, how we relate with others, the outworking of every aspect of the lives of believers. And that's actually covered in Ephesians chapter 4 to chapter 6. It's meant to cover every area of our lives, how we should go about it. When Paul wrote those things, he's trying to tell us, responding to God's call, practical outworking in every aspect, how to go about it. So what does that mean? I'll now frame it in these words. Practical outworking, whether it be marriage, family relationships, how we conduct ourselves, how we live with others, the outworking of every aspect of the lives of believers, ought to be viewed and approached in the light of God's call. And they are part of the expressions of the lives of members of the body of Christ. I said this is in Ephesians chapter 4 to chapter 6. And all this is practical outworking. And you see here, in these chapters, Paul talks about marriage, he talks about family relationships, he talks about how we should conduct ourselves, how we relate with people. And all this, we'll soon look at it, goes together with expression of church life, body life. So the practical outworking, as we've seen, begins with chapter 4, verse 1, and carries on to the end of the epistle. And this is in response to God's call. Therefore, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. So what Paul is trying to communicate to us in his epistle in Ephesians 6 is that not only is trying to tell us what's the revelation of the mystery, the importance of the mystery of church life and so on, but he's also trying to tell us that our approach to life should be an integrated approach. Every aspect of our lives, and literally every aspect, it must be approached, viewed, lived out with a consciousness of our response to God's call in the light of God's call and what is in the heart of God. It's a comprehensive thing. It's an integrated approach. When Paul addresses various areas, whether it be husband relationship, parent-child relationship, we must be careful. He's not just talking about different, separate, compartmentalized areas of our lives. It's the other way around. He begins with the big picture, and then he tells us practical working, how to work out in the different areas. So all the different aspects of life need to be worked out in the consciousness of our response to God's call. And what does that mean? Actually, it has far-reaching implications. You may be responding to the scriptures and living your lives quite contrary to what Paul is trying to convey without even realizing it. For example, in the husband-wife relationship, I mentioned a little of this in earlier messages. Whether it be husband relationship, parent-child relationship, what does it mean to truly love your children, and children obeying parents and so on, outworking, and master-slave and so on, and how we relate with one another. If we are not careful, then we may be spending time with people, loving them in ways that can be quite contrary to what God desires of us in the light of the revelation of the mystery, including what should be uppermost, what should really grip our hearts, what are our priorities. So for example, husband relationship, very important, yes. But if we are not careful, we may actually be paying attention to spending time in the husband relationship in a way that actually dilutes our response to God's call, even though the husband and wife may be very happy with each other. Likewise, parent-child relationship. That's why Paul tells us in the 1 Corinthians 7 that those who are married should carry on as though they are not married. Now that of course can be misinterpreted so that we do not properly appreciate that the husband relationship is very important and the spouses need to pay a lot of attention to each other. And that is if we bear in mind the total picture, or in, for example, Ephesians 5 tells us the husband relationship ought to be modeled after the relationship between Christ and the church, how Christ loved the church, and how the church to submit to Christ in everything. The beautiful picture of the husband-wife relationship. Important to God, of course, very important. But Ephesians 5, practical outworking, must be within the framework and not forgetting the primary consciousness of response to God and God's call. The meaning of our time on earth, what is it all about? The stewardship of what God has entrusted to us. Those things must grip us. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 7, that was the context. That Paul says, what he's concerned about is undivided devotion to God. Know the times that we are living in. Similarly, Paul, here in Ephesians 5, making the most of your time. So we cannot afford to just waste away the time. And the waste can be in many different forms. Sometimes we waste away the time can be really useless things. That's really waste away the time. But Paul is not just talking about not wasting your time, he just make the most of your time. Be careful how you walk. So in the light of God's call, what is in God's heart, how he wants us to respond to him as primary, then the husband-wife relationship. Let's concentrate on how to encourage one another to respond well to God's call. Likewise, parent-child relationship. Likewise, relationship amongst the brethren and how we go about in our daily lives. There must always be that consciousness that the primary is God's call. And together with that, the major areas of truth that we already understand. That this world and all that is in this world will all be burnt up. God wants us to concentrate on the spiritual, eternal kingdom of God, which will abide forever. And once you hear this, you know, yes, yes, many verses come to our minds. That is what God wants us to concentrate upon. So we need to exercise care that we have a good grasp of the core center. Otherwise, there can be various areas in our lives, especially in the context of the wiles of the evil one. Our lives can be easily distracted, diluted, even if we are not doing anything negative. Not to say, of course, that we do falter and fail, and at times do things that are displeasing to God. But even when we are doing legitimate things, it can still be far from making the most of our time. But God's view of things is very wholesome. This is something we need to constantly bear in mind. When I covered with you the messages on the posture of God and truth, I did mention this point, that we need also to learn to be wholesome, and the posture, we leave it out properly, it will be wholesome, because God is a wholesome God, and the truth of God, if properly understood, is wholesome. So that's where we need to bear in mind the core center and the thrust, but at the same time, God also wants us to pay attention to specific areas. And that is what Paul does. And his epistle to Ephesians is a very beautiful epistle where all these things are there, but actually the heart of Paul manifests itself in all his epistles. The basic thrust and meaning, they are all basically the same, within the same framework of truth. But we, to appreciate properly, we must seek to identify with the heart of Paul, and the heart of Paul is identified with the heart of God. And especially what is recorded for us in the scriptures, inspired by God for our learning. So on the one hand, to constantly be conscious, to walk worthy of the calling, make the most of our time in that light, but a proper place to pay attention to all the different areas. They are all relevant. But the way we pay attention to them must not contradict the core center. And it is actually easy to live our lives and spend our time in ways, and there are some things that may grip our attention, we find so interesting, including legitimate things. Something that just comes to my mind is, for example, in the family, playing with little children, especially your own children or grandchildren. Very interesting. Can be very satisfying, and there is a place for that. But if we are not careful, then we can also be taken up in a way that may not be what the Lord desires of us, in the sense of making the most of our time, understanding the will of the Lord. So it is clear, God wants us to pay attention, due attention to all the different areas. And there are many areas that God wants us to pay attention to. But we must all come within the framework of what is the will of God for each one of us, different phases of our lives, the different contexts we are in. And very often, the way God guides us, the usual way that God guides us, is not speaking to us in an audible voice or writing across the sky, this is what you should do. And the way we seek to understand how God guides us, a very major way to be ready to be guided by God, is to understand God's revelation in the scriptures, the various major areas of truth, not just that we come to understand in our minds, but absorb into our hearts. And in that way, we'll be much more ready to know how God is guiding us, the way we should channel our time and energy, and the different areas of our lives having their proper place. sometimes quite clear, easy to recognize, often may not be so obvious straight away. But if we learn to approach life properly, absorb the major areas of truth properly, identify our hearts with the heart of the Lord, then more and more we will be on the right track. So the practical of working in every aspect must be approached, viewed in the light of God's call. And I mentioned just now also, view as part of the expression of the lives of members of the body of Christ. Because these chapters, verses 4 to 6, let us now look more carefully at the context again. So chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, I implore you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. But Paul went on to say, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, to 3, I read to you just now, verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. And then, as he goes down, it's quite clear, the unity of the Spirit there, because he wants to introduce to us the practical of working, very critical, at the core center, is the expression of body life, which he had already told us in chapter 3. So chapter 4, therefore, as mentioned, relates to the earlier chapters, and chapter 3, he has already told us about the revelation of the mystery to him and a very major aspect of the response to the mystery and God's intentions is that, chapter 3 verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church. And how is that to be worked out? He tells us in chapter 4. And so he straight away tells us, chapter 4 verses 11 to 16. The expression of church life, body life. That is a very important passage. How the members of the body of Christ are to function, then you can respond well to God's call and the manifold wisdom of God being manifested through the church. This is an area very important to God, but God's children and the universal church has yet to see the reality of the manifestation of what God desires to manifest. Because a meaningful appreciation of what God desires that he communicates through the Apostle Paul here generally rather little is properly appreciated. That doesn't mean believers do not love God, do not try to serve God. There are many who do love God, who try to serve God in various ways, and it doesn't mean that nothing is accomplished. But we need to recognize, even as I shared from the Old Testament, how when the picture there, as God's people responded in the way God desires, and God was not silent in how the tabernacle is to be built, how the temple is to be built, and as God's people responded in the way exactly just as God commanded, the glory of God filled the temple. Likewise, how God's glory is to be manifested in expression of the New Testament, which is actually the fulfillment of the Old Testament picture. The temple of God is the church. There's a lot more that God wants to manifest of his wisdom and glory. So Paul talks about the practical outworking in church life, verses 11 to 16. And verse 17 onwards, he then goes on to the practical outworking in daily life and various aspects. I mentioned just now to you, family, relationship, husband, wife, parents, children, and how we relate one another and in society and so on. And later on, the very major area of spiritual warfare. So bear in mind, all this practical outworking flows forth not only from chapters 1 to 3, but also chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. And chapter 3 already talks about this, so church life. So all these are actually meant to be worked out. You see, verse 17 begins this way. So this I say and affirm together, Lord, that you no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk. It follows forth immediately after Paul talks about the proper working of each individual part and church life and so on. So this I say. So it follows from there. So all these various practices are working. Paul is addressing who? Believers, and believers who understand God's call, the revelation of the ministry, and how church life ought to work out. And as you work out, practical outworking. The practical outworking from verse 17 onwards involves our relationship with one another as we seek to work out church life. It also involves our working out in society. Carefully read through chapter 4, verse 17 onwards. And they say in the midst of it, I mentioned to you just now, Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And he says, be filled with the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and so on, making the most of your time, and so on, and so on. So then, I need to move a bit faster, but at least try to stop at somewhere reasonable. But this practical outworking, I want to emphasize, not only flows forth from our response to God's call in relation to the major issues of revelation and mystery, but together with that, the centrality of the role of the church and the practical expression of body life. So husband and wife relationship, yes, there is that. Relationship with husband and wife, very important, but if this is a couple of Christians working out in a local context in church life, then it's not just between the husband and wife. It's part of the expression of church life, body life. Likewise, parents, children, and various other aspects of how brethren should live their lives. And Paul says, lay aside the old man or the old self, put on the new self, the new man, and so on. So all this is in the context of the practical outworking in our response to God and in the light that God wants us to work out in church life. So the expression of the life of the body. And subsequently, we see spiritual warfare in chapter 6. Spiritual warfare, very important to bear in mind, to understand, is an integral part of practical outworking. And there is even clearer. Spiritual warfare involves every single believer, whether you recognize it or not. It's ongoing. But it is meant to be fought, not just at a personal level, but as an army of God. So the expression of body life, very important. An individual soldier cannot fight very well. You need an army for this fight. So how body life ought to be expressed in spiritual warfare is an area that those who want to be serious in responding to God's call must learn. First to recognize its significance, and then also how to discern, how to recognize, how to take our stand, how to fight the good fight of faith. And that is the next point I want to address. But don't worry, I'm conscious of the time. I cannot go into that today, although that is what I had prepared. But we cannot go into that for today. But just ending on this part, that all the various practical aspects actually goes on. If you go through Ephesians chapters 4 to 6, after talking about husband relationship and children, parents, and so on, as well as the earlier portions in chapter 4 and 5 and practical outworking, then after that, Paul talks about in verse 10 onwards, about spiritual warfare, you notice that Paul talks about prayer, and not just prayer and the importance of prayer, but also prayer support for making known the mystery of the gospel. So just quickly, from verses 10 to 17 onwards, we know it's directly about spiritual warfare. Then verse 18 is actually, you can see, a transition verse. Paul now wants to emphasize the importance of prayer, but he's talking about the importance of prayer in the light of spiritual warfare. Very important in spiritual warfare, the area of prayer. With all prayer, this is actually part of the flow of spiritual warfare. But Paul is now going on into the importance of prayer in practical outworking. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with perseverance. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So practical outworking, prayer for all the saints. Very important. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What is that? That is all still on practical outworking, the importance of prayer, but prayer for people like Paul. What is that? Those who are serving the Lord, and especially those who are more in need of prayer, they are deeply involved in the Lord's work. So prayer for God's servants and the Lord's work. Make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What is Paul saying here? The reaching out to those who not yet know the gospel, but also, as I've tried to emphasize, the mystery of the gospel is very comprehensive. It's all that God intends for us in Christ, including church life and how God's purposes are to be fulfilled, and for believers to be built up in the faith in the direction of maturity in Christ. So Paul served. He preached the gospel to non-believers, but it didn't stop there. It's also for believers to be built up in the faith. So the whole practical outworking would also include the making known of the gospel, the reaching out to non-believers, support for God's servants, prayer support for the Lord's work. And all this, bear in mind, in the context of spiritual warfare, and bear in mind, we'll see subsequently very clear, in spiritual warfare, we is plural, is the army of God. So all this prayer and so on, not just, of course there is the personal prayer, yes. But the whole emphasis here is actually responding as a body in the context of spiritual warfare and prayer. So prayer of, in the context of church life, expression, manifestation of church life is very important. Not just make known the gospel, but make known with boldness. Paul is talking about how the gospel can go forth powerfully, effectively, in the way that God desires. And I say, when Paul mentions certain points, he highlights certain points, but he's trying to tell us that the spread of the gospel in fulfillment of God's purposes, very important. It requires prayer support. God's servants require prayer support. God's work requires prayer support. So the whole book of Ephesians is one whole big picture, beginning with the revelation of God's mystery, how God's purposes are to be fulfilled, the importance of the role of the church, and then the practical outworking in the various aspects. Whether it be family relationship, working out amongst the brethren in society, and all this in the context of spiritual warfare, and all the time, the support for the Lord's work, and all those who are serving God in various contexts. We'll stop here for today. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, ask the Lord to impress upon our hearts more deeply how to respond well to his call. What is the revelation of the mystery? What is at the heart of the revelation of the mystery? And that God wants us to work out our lives, practical working, every aspect with a consciousness that we are to make the most of our time in the light of God's call. At a personal level, and also the thrust in the expression of church life and body life, and the need to bear in mind that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, and that it is crucial that we be filled with the Spirit and continue to be filled with the Spirit and walk according to the Spirit. That is how we walk with God in truth. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us whether our lives are consistent with the way God wants us to respond to Him. Are there areas that we need to review? Are we paying the right attention, priority, in the way God desires of us, the way we channel our resources, our time, our energy? What are we concentrating upon? Do all the various practical areas of our lives come nicely within this framework of God's call? Yes, not forgetting the need to pay due attention to the various areas, which is what God desires of us, but never forgetting the core center, and that ultimately what counts is faithfulness to God and the stewardship of the mystery. Are there some areas in our lives that we need to make some changes? Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for Your high calling and every provision that You've made for us. We know that You desire the best for each one of us. We ask that You will help us to know how to recognize, discern Your perfect will. First, the major areas of truth You revealed in the Scriptures, and then in practical outworking, how You want us to order our lives and to live our lives in a wholesome manner, the way You desire of each one of us in our respective context. Thank You for the provision of the Holy Spirit, and that You help each one of us to experience the fullness of the Spirit and be guided, empowered, enabled by Your Spirit, that indeed we may fulfill the perfect will of God. We know that we do stumble in various ways. We can also be distracted. Our understanding on various issues may not be that wholesome. We thank You for Your patience with us. Help us that we will not be complacent, but to recognize that there's so much more that You want to reveal to us, to teach us. What You've already revealed in the Scriptures, as well as what You desire to teach us in our daily walk with You. And we pray that You will also help us to appreciate more and more deeply how You desire your children to work out together in church life and what it means to be diligent in preserving the unity of the Spirit. And that more and more we may be able to work out in the way you desire of us, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be manifested through the church, an expression of church life. We pray that our hearts will be receptive to what you have to say to us, and that we may know how to exhort, encourage one another to respond well to you. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine, and we ask that you prepare our hearts so that we will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. Help us to partake in faith and to be strengthened afresh by the life of Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.